Our Bible reading this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, beginning at verse 7 and going through to chapter 6, verse 12. So starting at Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessings of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised.
I just found out then that I usually come with a teaching aid of some sort. Pressure's on. I don't have a teaching aid this morning. But I hope that the examples I use from my life might be an aid to us here this morning. We've been doing this series in Hebrews, and we've been looking at the five warnings that we need to know in our Christian life, that will keep us between the flags, the safe place where we are to live. And this morning again, we'll be looking, as Steve told us about, the danger of not maturing. Let me give you a story. The Bates children, my children, they were large babies when they were born. Unlike their father, of course, I was only 9 pounds when I was born, but 4 weeks preemie, and my third child, I have four children, Rebecca, she was 10 pound 4 when she was born. She was the largest of our children, and we noticed that in the first years of her life, you characterised Rebecca by saying she was a chubby little girl. And then we notice Rebecca starting to slim down, which we thought, you know, like the other kids, they'll lose a bit of their baby fat. And it didn't concern us at first, but we noticed in particular she was starting to refuse to eat food and to keep food down. Now, not wanting food was a very strange thing in the Bates household. You know, mealtimes were a big deal for us. And so we monitored the situation, and over time she grew in height, but she didn't put on any weight. And as I said, mealtimes were very traumatic for us. And after a few years, we became concerned. The doctor wasn't concerned at first, but by the time she was 6 years of age, she was the same weight as she was when she was two. She had put on some height, but it was obvious for Rebecca she had wasted muscle tissue on her body. You know, big hollows where muscles should be. She was skin and bone. Rebecca was failing to thrive. I remember the nutritionist was chastising Rebecca when she was about 5 or 6 for not eating. We thought she might have been anorexic, and it was certainly true. She was not growing properly. And as I said, she hadn't put on weight for 4 years. It was horrible as a parent to see your child stunted in life. And after a great deal of testing, we found out that she had an esophageal hiatus hernia, which can be treated, and all was good. And if you know Rebecca, she's a thriving young lady. But it was a concern for us. Because it was a concern for us as parents. We know children are meant to grow. And when they don't, there's something wrong. All things are expected to grow. And as Christians, we are meant to grow as well. It's a tragedy to see someone like Rebecca fail to grow, but we read in Galatians 4, it's a greater tragedy when Christians fail to grow spiritually. It should alarm us. When Christians do not grow, there are many results that come from that. Let me list 4, very briefly. In 1 Peter 5, it tells us when Christians do not grow spiritually, they are weak and they are susceptible to temptation. Secondly, in 2 Peter 1, we're told that they are unproductive and that they aren't bearing the fruits of righteousness. Thirdly, in 2 Peter, we're told that they will become spiritually blind and forgetful. And when Christians do not grow spiritually, the results are, we're told in 2 Peter, they will stumble and fall and maybe not even get into heaven. There are many other results of Christians who do not grow in their faith. But I just want to say, as we look at this passage this morning, the stakes are high, very high. So, why do some Christians fail to grow spiritually? And this passage tells us 3 reasons. Some Christians fail to grow spiritually because, firstly, they are dull in hearing. They are dull in hearing. That passage that Judy read to us from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "Well, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn." The writer wants to tell these Hebrew Christians that Jesus was both the sacrifice for their sin, and Jesus intercedes for them as a priest in the order of Melchizedek. He goes on to talk about the promises to Abraham and how that's significant about God's promises to us. But he says, these things are too hard for you. You are slow to learn. Other translators say, it's hard to make this truth clear to you because you no longer try to understand. Another translator says that you are dull in hearing. They are disinterested. They're turned off. Have you ever been in a conversation, and I have, and where you're distracted or you're bored of what they're talking about. Now, let me say, it's never, ever happened while I'm talking to you, all right? Never, ever, ever, all right? And so the person's talking away, and by the way, this is a fault on my behalf, and they're talking away, and you're nodding and saying yes at the right times. And after a few minutes, or many minutes, I don't know, you realise, what the heck are they talking about? I have no idea. And you're supposed to be engaging with them, and you're not. And people who have dulled their hearing to God do that when they come to church. Yeah, they do. They don't want to hear the Bible read. They don't want to hear God's word explained. They're more interested in catching up with friends or having morning tea or being with their kids. They're more interested in enjoying the music. You see, God's word is a burden to them. They gave up daily devotions years ago. They don't allow the word of God to penetrate them anymore. They don't want to think. They just want to be comfortable. They don't want to be challenged. They don't want to grow in their faith. They don't want to grow in their service for God. They don't want to change. And when they hear the preacher, which is probably Steve, all they hear is, no, when they hear the preacher, they might just hear blah, 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 blah. They don't hear a word that he's saying because they don't want to receive it. All right? I've been in that situation. I've sat and listened to sermons and not tuned in. And so why do some Christians fail to grow spiritually? Firstly, that they are dull of hearing, we're told. Secondly, because they think that they've grown enough. The passing of time has deceived them into thinking that they are mature. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says in your Bibles, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. Here is a case of arrested development. And these guys have been around a good time, and they should have grown in their faith, but they haven't. In fact, we're told here that they had to stay to the fundamentals of their faith because they haven't developed beyond them. By this time, they should be teachers, teaching others about the ABC of God's love and the gospel. Let me talk a bit about ABC, not of the gospel, but just ABCs. A preschooler, you would think, might understand, be taught some letters of the alphabet. Might be. When a child is 5 years of age and is in kindergarten, we know that in kindergarten they're taught the alphabet. It's drilled into them. You hope that in kindergarten that they'll be able to even do some sight reading and even recognise their own name and a few significant other words. But if by mid-primary school a child has not memorised the alphabet, there are big issues before them. They can't read. And it's preventing them from growing in their development and understanding of life and themselves. And so knowing the alphabet is an important thing for them to grow. But even worse, if that person reaches adulthood, they can't read a form, they can't read a road sign, they can't look up information on the internet, they can't read the paper, they can't do an exam, they can't write an email or a text, they can't read Facebook, they can't follow cooking instructions, they can't read a roadmap. And what you see here, because if they had the opportunity to memorise the alphabet and learn to read and didn't take it up, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy for them. And it's the same with Christians. It's a tragedy for us if we don't understand the foundational truths of our life and develop from that. If we stay stagnant in the Christian life and we don't listen to Him, then we will not grow in our faith in God at all. Charles Spurgeon, the famous preacher of the 19th century, describe people like this. Some people are still in the same paddock when you met them 10 years ago. You know those sorts of people, don't you? You go to a school reunion, come back and think, well, nothing's changed there. And we can be like that in our own Christian faith. Other people have moved on in their life, but for some Christians, for whatever the case may be, they've stayed in the same place and want to stay in that same place for the rest of their life. They never learn. They never take steps of faith. They never seek to allow the Holy Spirit to change their lives and to do something in their life. They hold to the same opinions that they held 10 years ago and won't move from them. And if this Christian is a preacher, if this Christian is a preacher and has failed to grow in their faith, well, this is what happens. You hear the same 7 sermons over and over again coming from all different Bible verses. All right? It's true, isn't it? There are people who are failing to grow. And if it's a preacher, he gets onto his same hobby horses all the time and he fails to move out of his own comfort zone. It's a tragedy when that happens. And there are many other reasons why people have become, you know, dull to the hearing of God. In Amos chapter 7, we see that God's word was a burden to them. King Saul in 1 Samuel 15, he made excuses for his sin and did not take up the word of God. And Jesus in Luke 9 talks about how he commanded them to sacrifice and to deny themselves. And many people understood that and turned away and failed to listen anymore. The Apostle Paul talks about some people in 1 Corinthians 2 who refuse to listen to the wisdom of God and are hankering after the wisdom of this world. In life, our pride, our complacency, our self-centeredness is the thing that the Laodicean church in Revelation 3 we're told that they were lukewarm to the things of God. In fact, for God, lukewarm meant he spat them out of his mouth. There are people who say, no, I'm not going to listen anymore. But spiritual maturity is based on being open to God. It's based on listening to him. It's based on taking on his values in our life. It's based on looking to him for direction in our life. Now let me ask some diagnostic questions. I don't want you to answer them out loud, and so it's just in your own head. Have you been growing? Have you been maturing in your relationship with God? Have you been wanting to read your Bible and pray daily? Have you been part of a life group here at Stanhope where you can be accountable and taught and grow? Are you regular each week here at church? Friends, are you stepping out in faith and taking the steps of faith and trusting God that he'll be with you? Are you growing? And if you're not, why aren't you growing? Why do some Christians fail to grow in their Christian life? We're told some are dull at hearing. Others think that they've grown enough. And thirdly here, we're told that they only want milk and not meat. When I was on holidays recently, I went to this place down in Wollongong where there was a swimming pool and a spa. And I went every morning I went and did all these laps of the pool and then jumped in the spa. And I remember just sitting in the spa there and this bloke came in and it was just him and me. Do you have conversations with someone in the spa? I'm not sure if it's like, do you talk to someone at the toilet or something? You just don't know what to do with the spa thing. You're in your swimmers and stuff. So I said nothing. And, we're sitting there for 15 minutes, just sort of, I don't know, whatever. Next morning, did the same thing, laps and hopped in the spa, and sure enough, the same bloke turned up. Now, it was one of these things, and oh, okay, we're sort of friends now, so I need to ask some questions. So I just asked him, you know, how long you're here, and, you know, on holidays, and, you know, where do you live? And he started talking a number of things to me. Lovely guy, like, top bloke. I mean, we stayed in that spa for another sort of 45 minutes. We came out prunes, but, you know, we had a really good conversation. And he said that he made a vow to God that he'd be in church every week. In the last many years, he fulfilled that vow. He was at church every week. And in the course of the conversation, he found out that I was a minister. And so he then sought to give me some advice. I'll take on some advice. He said, you know, the church I go to, we have 10-minute sermons, and that's the best sort of thing to have. All right? And he told me, you should preach for 10 minutes. I got 1 minute to go, so if that's the case. And then we started talking more. And it was really evident that this guy, he didn't know much about the Bible at all. I mean, at all. He was clueless about some really basic fundamental things in the Christian life. And I left feeling sad for my friend. He was either an extremely immature Christian, a baby Christian, or possibly not even a Christian at all. And it's sad to think, because this man had been going to church for many years. He was 73 years of age. You think after 73 years of being devout, going to church, that he'd pick up something significant and be growing in his faith. But he wasn't. Just like this man that I had spoke to on holidays, these people here in the book of Hebrews, they just wanted milk, not solid food. They wanted sermonettes for Christianettes. They didn't want much at all. Now, I understand that unless you're lactose intolerant, that milk is an excellent thing in our diet. An excellent thing in our diet. But it should not be the sole source of nourishment. What am I having for breakfast? Milk. What am I having for dinner? Milk. What am I having for lunch? Milk. No, we don't have a diet of just milk. No. Experts are divided when a baby should stop being fed breast milk or formula, but it's certainly clear by the time you're 30 years of age, milk should not be the only thing in your diet, all right? Because we need to mature onto more solid food. Now, do you remember when your first teeth started falling out? You're probably up to the stage where your second teeth have maybe fallen out, but do you remember what happened then? Between the ages of about 5 and 12, your baby teeth, your milk teeth, your first teeth fell out, your mouth was getting larger, and they were replaced with larger teeth that could chew. That's what the purpose of getting rid of those baby teeth were. And it was there to help you in your development getting larger teeth. And the problem with this church in the book of Hebrews, they wanted to have their baby teeth. They wanted milk and not to be chewing on something solid. And they were not stepping up to their level of Christian maturity. And the warning is here that if this were to continue, if they were to remain babies in the faith, or worse, and that's pretty bad to be stunted, we're told if that there's a worse thing here in this passage, that they could even fall, or they could even fall away. What a tragedy that would be, because they failed to listen. Each of us are called, friends, to mature in our faith. rather than be satisfied with the childish knowledge of God that we were given when we were younger. And in this church here this morning, there are people on various levels of maturity. There are some people who've been Christians for only a short period of time, and there are others who've been Christians for 60 years or more. Friends, that is not maturity. See, I can sit in a church and let it all go over me and not mature and take it on. And so the warning is that the Hebrews, they are in a very, very dangerous place if they just want to sit still in their faith and not aiming to grow. If that happens, who's going to help them in their faith? Who's going to help them? Who's going to help their kids to hear about Jesus or their grandkids? You see, there is a bigger picture here of, you know, where we should be going and doing God's work. Well, I've heard people say this. People in church over the many years I've been a pastor. They said, some Christians might say, I know all I need to know about God. I'm quite content with that. Or I've read the Bible 2.5 times. I think I know what it says. And I don't need to mature any more than that. I'm good where I am. And I want to say to them, God does not want us to be complacent. He does not want us to be arrogant. He does not want us to be lazy or proud and stop growing. He wants us to go on in our maturity. You see, friends, the foundation has been laid and we must build upon it. And every day with God is an opportunity to build on that foundation. And it says there, the foundation of repentance and faith. It's been terrific to see what's happening in our church here at Stanhope. And for me to witness that and to see that in your life and to see it grow. Let me say that has been inspirational and a great encouragement to me, and I know it has been a great encouragement to you. However, the purpose of our church is not primarily to grow in numbers. The purpose of our church is for us to grow in our and become healthy. That's my desire for you as a senior minister here, to help you and to help Steve to grow in your faith. That's a foundational thing. And especially you need the support in life, encouragement, in life groups. You see, when I look around and I see the world, I see nature, I see people, I see that healthy things, healthy people, they're the ones that are growing. And when that happens, that's my prayer that this will be our church, that we'll be growing in our faith in God. And when that happens, I know the Holy Spirit will add to our number more and more. They'll see the love of God here and be gravitated to as we proclaim the good news of Jesus. Yeah, growing is important for many, many reasons. Let me finish by talking about a part of the passage here that I've entitled The Impossible. The impossible. If we continue to stunt our growth in God, there's a chance that we'll stop listening. There's a chance that we'll fall away from God, well, at least humanly speaking anyway. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, the passage that Judy read to us a moment ago, says this. It is impossible for those who have been enlightened, who have tasted the good and heavenly gift, who have shared the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting Him in public disgrace. It seems to be saying that Christians can fall away here, and if they do, it says that they cannot be brought back to salvation. But don't we have an assurance in our salvation? Are we secure in our faith? Doesn't God look after us? Friends, we need to read this passage with caution and in its context. We hear the warning that's intent here, a warning against apathy. It's when we're not caring about our faith. It's a warning to the mature not to go back to milk. Because if we remain as an infant in our faith, we can easily become spiritually deaf. It's a warning to keep going. In verse 11 there, it says to be diligent. In verse 12, it talks about, you know, not being lazy. And so here is this thing about if we fall away. It's sort of like a coin. On one side of a coin, let's say, is God and his responsibility, and on the other side is ourselves. And God's role on one side, where God says in Jude 24 that he's able to keep us from falling. He's able to hold us safely in his grasp. Now, that's true. That's right. God is sovereign and all-powerful and shapes our will. Yes, we're not going to devalue at all, ever would we, the sovereignty of God. Let me give you a story about my sister, Pauline. My sister is 6 years older than me, and when she was a late teenager, she was a Christian, a fine Christian lady, was a real witness in the church that she was part of. And she started dating an atheist. And over a period of time, Pauline stopped going to church. Pauline gave away her faith. And about this time, actually, I became a Christian when I was a teenager. And I remember some time after being a Christian, Pauline came to me with a box of books and said, "Jeff, I think you could use these because I don't have any reason to use these at all." They were Christian books. They were books that she previously loved. Pauline walked away from the Lord. And it's only by the grace of God, 15 years later, did she come back to faith. Now, Pauline is a fine Christian lady, and God has been wonderful to her. But humanly speaking, it would have been impossible for her to come back to the Lord in all that she decided to do. But again, it's only by God's grace that she was able to come back. So the responsibility is God's hand, and we have a responsibility to live out our life in submission to God and His Spirit. We looked early in the series in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1. It says, "Pay more careful attention so that you do not drift away." We can be in a position where in life where we fail to listen and we fall away. And we could arrive at a position where we say we don't need to repent and we don't need to have faith in our life anymore. Friends, we need to be constantly immersing ourselves in the goodness of God. We need to be together as God's people, encouraging each other, or else we'll forget. 36 years ago, I was training to become a school teacher. And in my metallurgy lectures, I used to be able to quote the percentage of content of magnesium and silicon and copper and molybdenum in the various, percentage carbon in steels. And it was a significant thing for a metallurgist to be able to know that. It was such a long time ago. I have not kept up on my metallurgy knowledge. You know, I am clueless today about the carbon content of steel. And I haven't kept up with it. And it's like that piece of information is gone and it's no longer part of my life. I wonder if it's a bit like that in our own Christian life. Friends, this is a sobering message we've heard this morning, isn't it? That we need to be walking with the Lord. We need to be listening that He might direct our ways in the ways that we should go. And friends, let me encourage you. to keep going. To keep going with your walk with the Lord and let Him direct you in the way that you should go for Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there have been many times when we have tuned out and not listened to your call on our lives. And Lord, would you please forgive us when we've put the earmuffs on and not listened. Lord, I pray for each of us here this morning, help us to move from milk to the meat of your word. Help us to be people who are listening and changing in the likeness of your Son all the time. And Lord God, when we are lazy, when we are complacent or proud, would you please help us to overcome these things so that you might work mightily in our lives? And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.